Sing me a song, you're a singer. Do me a wrong, you're a bringer of evil. The devil is never a maker. The less that you give, you're a taker. So it's on and on and on. It's heaven and hell. Oh, well. Welcome to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by the sexiest man in podcasting, Scott Haskins. Scott, do you recognize that lyric? What Aerosmith song did that come from that I read at the top of the show?
I thought that was from My Wedding Vows. Which is really weird because I'm single. I don't know. I thought you were going with Piano Man at first, and then I realized by the second line that it was not Billy Joel. Boy, you got me on that one.
All right. So we got a no guess from Scott Haskin. Let's go to the grumpiest man in podcasting, John Mariano. John, do you know what Aerosmith song that quote came from?
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Oh, wait. See, you got him going on Billy Joel. Come on, man.
That's not my fault. You invoked the Joel.
I know. It's not your fault. Yeah, I got you. It's 100% Scott's. Just so you know, that's not from an Aerosmith song. I got that chat GPT, and so I asked it to write me an Aerosmith lyric, and that's what it came up with.
So you got it from Satan.
No, I got it from Satan. So anyone who thinks that chat GPT can write a script and replace a writer, you're a fucking idiot. Chat GPT sucks. That's the worst lyric I ever heard.
You know, I did recently see somebody asked chat to come up with a synopsis for a horror film. And it gave a pretty, you know, general low budget horror pitch, similar to stuff that you would see like direct to DVD or on the Sci-Fi Network. And, but it did one thing that I was impressed by. It left it open for a sequel, which I thought, okay, that's pretty smart.
That's what the only thing it's good for. I stand with the writers. I hope there's a resolution of the strike very soon.
Wait. So you're telling me even AI is too focused on world building to put together a competent script?
Yep. Of course. Because it learns from people that did that.
That's terrible.
It is. I just wish that we would come to some kind of resolution to where we don't have to keep going on strike every time something happens, like just set a new precedence to where people are just treated well and acknowledged properly and paid properly. And, you know, because I just don't see the point of doing these little things. And then 3 years later, now we got to do it again. Although if it is over the AI issue, well, that's new. So that would be, that's pretty fair.
You're a dreamer, Scott Haskins. If only the world worked that way, but billionaires need more money. They need to buy another yacht.
I have two pitches for solutions, but they both are problematic in and of their own right. And my first pitch is that we get the great Al Bundy, who once scored 4 touchdowns in a high school football game. And we have him, as the execs don't want to pay the writers, he walks into their offices and escorts them out of their office to fire them, as he would have removed one of Kelly's boyfriends by slamming them face first into the wall and then throwing them out the door. And then my solution number two was equally as good, is that we get Red Foreman to show up and physically put his foot up the exec's ass. Now, the problem with either one of these things is that they were both created by writers, and that, kids, is the importance of writers.
Nicely done. Amen. Go poke high.
Yep. You know what else is important? Ken Napsok. John Mariano, tell us about Ken Napsok.
Oh, do you know about Ken Napsok? Ken Napsok, also a writer.
That's right.
And he supports the Guild. He also supports the Napsok Network, home of the Blathering with Ken Napsok, Saturday Night Napsok, and many more. The Blathering is an off-the-cuff, from-the-heart-and-head podcast from comedian and author Ken Napsok. He also writes, hosts, and performs on the network. He's co-creator of 4Center, The Napsok Files, and Pop Rock and Radio, which can be found on Mixcloud. Support Ken. You know, find Ken on the interwebs and go and support and love Ken, because we do.
Amen. You know who else we love? We love the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Scott Haskins, if you wouldn't mind, please use those golden throat of yours and don't ask me how I know, and tell everybody about the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
Well, you know, Corey, it's this ever-growing network of podcasts, all music-related in one way or another. And of course, aside from this show, which is one of my favorites, even though I never listen to it because I'm present for the actual recording, you two do a wonderful show called Backtracks Theme Music, where you talk about all things film music. Very informative and enjoyable show. John's a completely different guy on that show. I don't even know who he is. But Corey, you do another show with our friend Mark Kammeyer called And the Podcast Will Rock, which is all things Van Halen. I have my other podcast, Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. We have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skynyrd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. We have Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. He covered all of the Black Sabbath stuff, covered all of the Ozzy Osbourne stuff. Very comprehensive show. We have Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, all things Queen. We have Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. We have Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, all things Iron Maiden. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Mad Men, the ultimate Ozzy podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers podcast. George and Hattie do the Judas Priest podcast, or Judas Priest cast as it is now known. We have Clay and Riot North by South podcast, a comparison between North American and American bands. I should say North American and Canadian bands would be more accurate for our Canadian friends like Corey. And then we have Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, a Megadeth podcast. Kevin at the Tom Petty Project. Kevin also does another show with his buddy Randy, the Seaside Pod Review, another Queen show. We have Quinn at And Volume for All, which is general heavy metal talk. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. And Chaz at Greg at the short-term podcast regarding Lulu. And of course, we can't forget our other friends, Sean Geek and Fast Fret, and Eric at Booked on Rock.
That's right. All great podcasts. Please go check them out. And before we get into this week's song, I've been kind of slipping, guys, but I didn't realize that there's a few people that have left reviews on our little show on Ooh. Apple Podcast. I wanted to read the reviews for you guys, and we'll see how we're doing, okay?
Yeah.
This one goes back to November, and I'm sorry, I'm just getting to it now. It's a 5-star review. The header says, number one Aerosmith podcast. Look at that. Really enjoy listening and getting the insights. Have liked Aerosmith since I was 8 years old. I'll be 28 in September. I've had them kind of on the back burner since I started listening to Def Leppard since I was 17. Also a pretty good band. This has reignited my love of Aerosmith and is getting me pumped to go see them in November. Awesome, my friend. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Actually, it was sent May 10th. So he's going this November on the 50th Peace Out Tour. So that's going to be a great show. Hope you have a great time. I'm really kind of envious. Next review came, what was this? Looks like July or June 2nd. Fun trip down Aerosmith discography. It's also a 5-star review. Aerosmith was the first band I got into and started collecting all their albums. Love the conversations and insights about the songs from Lar Dog in the United States. Thank you very much for that review. And then my absolute favorite review was left on May 14th. It's a longer one, so I got to hit the thing here. It's a 5-star review from Southern Rock to Pop Rock. Aerosmith rocks year round. And the review says, the fun concept of the dice is a very nice spin to the podcast. Aerosmith is the best band on the planet. Always will be. John and Corey are Aerosmith fans just like me. So this is before you, Scott. I'm sorry.
They're just specifically ignoring me.
Exactly. My favorite line is here. They're somewhat funny, but could use some better mics. So if you agree that we could use some better mics, please, I'll give my PayPal information, Venmo, whatever. Send me some money so I can afford a better mic. I'm using a Shure 55. It's actually a pretty good mic. And I know Scott's got a good condenser there, too. They must be talking about John and his headset mic.
Well, first of all, this is a prop mic. I have one of these snowballs over here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But second of all, if you're going to upgrade mics for both Corey and Scott, I fully endorse this, but I believe in balance. So can you send me a worse mic?
Is that possible? You have a snowball. Actually, those aren't too bad. I shouldn't have said that. I love that they're somewhat funny. I think that describes us incredibly well. The fact that we're somewhat funny to me is a huge win. This person also goes on to say they usually drag out the intros and outros. Yep, totally. We're doing it here again too, sorry. But the top three Aerosmith songs in their opinion are number one, Rats in the Cellar. So there's someone John Mariano can relate to. Love in an Elevator, number two, and Just Push Play at number three. The true genius of Aerosmith can never be pure into words. I think they meant put into words. Super Eve via Apple Podcast, May 14th. Thank you very much for those reviews, everybody. That was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Did you know, Corey, that you only get Apple Podcast reviews from your own continent. So you're only getting reviews from North America. So if somebody from Europe has left one, you may not see it.
Yes, I was aware of that. Yeah, those three specifically came from the United States. Every once in a while I check, because our little show here, sometimes we chart in different countries. I'm just going to bring that up here and let the folks know. Boy, Denmark, Australia loves John Mariano. Like, it's really kind of ridiculous how popular he is there. But Great Britain, we get a lot of folks in Great Britain listening. Taiwan, a lot of people in Taiwan. So thank you very much from all of our friends all across the globe, this glorious flat earth of ours, to listen to our dumb little Aerosmith show.
Well, I mean, in Australia, it makes sense, because you can walk out your front door or even just crack your window open and take a chance on getting eaten by one of the million things that's there to kill you. Or you could stay inside and listen to John Mariano. I mean, the choice is clear.
It's really kind of a coin flip, isn't it?
Haven't we already established that my mic is shitty?
I'm just wondering why you have a prop mic on an audio only podcast.
Because one time I had my mic turned up like this, and I got yelled at by a fellow podcaster that, you know, put your mic down so we could hear you. And that wasn't the issue, because this whole time I just turned my mic up and you guys could hear me perfectly fine.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about that winter review, and they said we need to get better mics. Maybe they think your name is Mike Scott and we just need a better mic.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. I mean, if you can swap me out, I mean, if you're upgrading, I'll go with it.
I don't want new people. I don't look, I think it's all well and good that we're listening and we're looking at reviews or whatever, and we appreciate what you're writing. We ain't fucking listening to reviews, right? Like, we're not going to follow what you say. We're going to use the same shitty mics. We're going to have the same shitty mic on, and that's what we're going to do. All right. Now I'm going to throw it to Mike. Mike, how was your week?
Come on, Mike. That's you, Baldy. Let's go.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Jolly good and fantastic, actually.
We established in canon that you're the Mike. We're not replacing Mike with Mike, because I don't want to meet new people.
Yeah, that's true. That's a hassle. You know you're getting with me. Whether you like it or not, you know what you're getting every week.
Exactly.
It's consistent.
Your dating app, Scott.
To be fair, anybody who listens to the show knows I appreciate that they listen, but I'm the one who has to be here with Mike. And I don't want to have to learn a new mic and deal with a new mic. I know the nuances of this mic. I like this mic. I don't know why we're calling him Mike now, but that's where we are. And if you feel like I'm dragging things out, it could be because you mentioned it in the review. So maybe this is a lesson to everybody right now.
And for those of you who are looking for me on your dating app, my profile is just swipe left already.
All right. Well, I think we've dragged out the intro long enough, boys. Let's get into some Aerosmith. Last week, show 69, we had Monkey on My Back from A Little South of Sanity. Scott and I liked it well enough to put it on the live track mixtape. John was a little more iffy on it, but his vote didn't matter. So it's currently nestled between Sweet Emotion and What It Takes on side B of our double mixtape. So now it's time to go to what we have currently on our dice. This week we have I'm Down, of course, Home Tonight, Nine Lives, Out of Your Head, Roadrunner, and Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu. Scott Haskin, what are you hoping to roll here tonight?
You know, I'm kind of really wanting to hear their version of Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu.
All right. I agree. I'm the one that put that on there. I've been looking forward to that one since we started this show. So I'm hoping we roll it here tonight. John Mariano, how about you?
Anything but I'm Down. Like, I've decided now where I fit with things. I like things being dragged out. I feel like we're dragging this out. I hope it's the last song that we get to hear on this podcast at this point. And is that a short enough answer for you, Corey?
Yes, it is. All right. So without further ado, let's get this sucker rolling. Toss of the And we are going to come with I'm Down. You're telling lies thinking I can't see. It's been how many months for I'm Down on the mixtape? Finally, we on show 70. I think you put it on around show 40.
Wasn't this on my original dice when I first was a guest?
I believe it was. That was way, way, way back when.
Yeah. Nice reverse psychology, John, though. Thank you.
Yeah, it worked.
I didn't even see the dice roll. Well,
that's true. It wasn't on our screen. We can't see it. No.
Well,
we've got Wikipedia.
What the hell do you have Wikipedia for? I don't even have a Wikipedia.
I feel like that was the most anticlimactic bullshit I've ever witnessed.
Oh my God.
Corey has us looking at a fucking Wikipedia page. I thought he was pulling out a chain that it fucking came up.
Do you see it now? That's what came up.
Yes, there it is.
Not that I don't trust you. I'm like, oh, Corey will roll the dice, but he feels like rolling the dice. Did you notice how both of us just deadpanned it? Like, we didn't react at all that this finally came up?
I was stunned.
Somebody could have fucking said something, but knowing you jerks, of course not.
Well, I didn't think it was going to happen. So I didn't expect that there was going to be a reveal. And now I'm just concerned about these t-shirt fails that show everything.
See, and this is why I don't bring the screen up, because Scott just looks at the ads and he doesn't do his job.
Right, because it's such a visual podcast.
Well, it can't be. People would get too turned on by your shot there, my friend. So
yeah, that's true.
Swipe I'm left. Down. Scott, you put this on the dice. Tell folks about this and your torrid love affair with Permanent Vacation.
Well, the first time I heard this, I didn't know it was a Beatles cover. I was pretty familiar with the Beatles, but I didn't know this song. And when I found out it was a Beatles cover, I immediately went and listened to their version. I thought, you know, Aerosmith gave this a really good run for their money. They were respectful to the original, but gave it their own kind of energy. And I think I really feel Stephen was into this song when he was singing it.
I agree. John, your thoughts on I'm Down?
Look, I appreciate any Beatles cover that this band does. That's my thought. That's my entire thought.
Okay. Good to know. I didn't know that the Beastie Boys recorded a cover of I'm Down for License to Ill.
No, I don't appreciate the Beastie Boys covering the Beatles.
But it wasn't included on the album because Michael Jackson owned the Beatles catalog at the time. And he disapproved of several of the cover's altered lyrics, including the line, "I keep a loaded pistol inside my pants, find a deaf girl and do the new dance."
Wow. Yeah. That's different.
I don't think I want License to Ill Beastie Boys covering at all.
How did it go, though? Was it like, "Don't you know I'm down"? It's the only way I can hear him doing it.
Yeah, it was never on the... I wonder, it's probably around there as a bootleg somewhere.
I'm sure it is, yeah. Well, not necessarily. Well, if they never paid for the license, though, they may not have ever... Somebody probably found it and put it out, though.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up after the fact, but... Yeah. I'm Down is track number 11 from Permanent Vacation. Of course, the big comeback album released August 1987. This song was not a single, although it could have been. Of course, famously written and recorded by the Beatles. If anyone ever saw the really chaotic performance at the Shea Stadium concert, where Paul and John are just kind of cracking each other up. It's kind of famous, that performance. But this used to close out the show, I believe, for the Beatles in 1965 and 1966.
Interesting.
So if you guys are ready, we'll get right into it. This is I'm Down from Permanent Vacation.
You telling lies thinking I can't see. You can't cry cause you're laughing.
Scott, what are your thoughts on that vocal performance by Steven Tyler?
That's exactly one of the main things I love about this song. Very passionate, very powerful. He sounds at the top of his game. But also, how amazing is that bass guitar just bringing the musical side to a really, really heavy sounding depth?
I think my favorite thing when this band covers this other band is that they... have such a passion and a love for the Beatles, and it comes through with everything they do. All five of them are firing on all cylinders, and you know, we still haven't covered my favorite Beatles cover they do. It's coming at some point, but for now, we'll go with I'm Down. And I'm curious to see if we're going to find room for this on the mixtape, because I can see it, you know, wedging its way on there.
Scott, do you know which Beatles cover John is talking about?
I'm going to guess it's Come Together.
John?
Oh, I'm supposed to reveal it? We don't want suspense.
No, we don't want suspense.
All right. Then, yeah, it's Come Together.
Well, it can't be Helter Skelter. We did that one already.
No, right. I love Helter Skelter. I love this a little bit more than I love Helter Skelter. I love Come Together. Yeah. Yeah, keep them coming.
Playing by spring, woman throws it away. Same damn thing happens every day. I'm down. I'm down. I'm down. I'm really down. How can you laugh when you know I'm down? How can you laugh when you know I'm down? Wow!
You know, it's not even so much a guitar solo as it is just a part that features what the guitarist is playing. And I really see a difference between those two things. I really liked what he played there. I liked that he didn't overplay the song. I thought it was just a little quiet. I thought that could have been a little bit louder in the mix, because you've got that really pounding bass and snare drum and then the bass guitar, so it doesn't cut through quite as much. But I really dig what he played. I'm pretty sure he played that with a slide.
You know, I was going to mention that, but I thought maybe it was just me going deafer in one ear, because we had the rhythm section on the left side and just Joe on the right side. And yeah, I thought it was a little low in the mix too. What did you think, John?
I'm okay with it being low in the mix. It's hard because they're trying to emulate the Beatles, and they definitely go harder than the Beatles. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a choice. I don't think it's a choice that anybody on this podcast agrees with. But it was definitely, I feel like, a creative choice to do, because I think they're trying to be very respectful of the original.
We are alone and there's nobody else. You still mourn, keep your wings to yourself. I'm down. I'm really down. I'm down. Down on the ground. I'm down. I'm really down. How can you laugh when you know I'm down?
Oh, I wasn't waving. I was dancing. But it's okay.
That was dancing? Jeez.
It was just me pointing my finger, because it's a good part. But Stephen's vocals are so on point on this song, like to Scott's point. What he's doing here, you know, is elevating to a degree the original, which almost sounds like blasphemy, because you have two of the greatest rock singers, three and a half of the greatest rock singers in the original band, right? And here we are with one band, and Stephen's power and range, I feel like, elevates the original, and that's taking nothing away. Sir Paul McCartney is one of my favorite vocalists of all time. George Harrison is one of my favorite vocalists of all time. And John Lennon is one of my favorite vocalists of all time. No offense, I appreciate Ringo Starr. But with that, with saying all of that, I think you take this, and Stephen didn't write it, but Stephen takes the original and just sings his heart out, and it is such a gift to all of us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I don't think Ringo sang on this song, so I don't think you have to worry about him too much. Tell me if you guys disagree. I really feel like they're in the studio recording this, and they're all just looking at each other and smiling, because they know they've got something really gold here.
And it feels like five guys in a room, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the next part coming up with the organ.
It also feels like this is maybe something they would play to, like, warm up. Right,
like
sound check, or like, let's loosen up and like just play a couple of our favorite tunes, and like this is probably among them to do, and it feels like it's more of that, right?
I can see that. I mean, it's not a demanding song as far as the music goes. It's not technical. It's just a fun, pretty straightforward song. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the Beatles version now, because now that I'm thinking about it, the bass line does seem incredibly simple for something Paul sang, but he might have laid back a little bit because he was the vocalist on the song, because his bass lines are usually reasonably complex.
So I'm going to have to go back and listen to the original album version as well to see how chaotic the organ is, because that sounded very much like John Lennon at Chase Stadium, where Ringo Starr said he cracked up and went mad. And I found a quote from John Lennon about that performance of I'm Down. He said, quote, "Because I did the organ on I'm Down, I decided to play it on stage for the first time. I didn't really know what to do because I felt naked without a guitar. So I was doing all Jerry Lee Lewis. I was jumping about and I only played about two bars of it." And he's playing with his elbows and he was jumping around. It's a fun performance, but
I was going to say that does feel very Jerry Lee Lewis, with just the, you know, the constant on the same chord. Definitely reminiscent of Jerry Lee Lewis.
I want to give this song one knock, right? And it's not a knock for knock's sake. If I were going to nitpick and say this is where the flaw in the song is, it is the background vocals. Because, you know, we listed off the Beatles' voices and them doing the background on this track versus Aerosmith, there is a drop-off, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a steep drop-off. But if I were going to sit here and isolate one piece of this song that doesn't work as well as the original, here's where I'm at.
Well, and to further my Five Guys in Room theory, I think that's just Joe doing background, where normally Steven would kind of overdub that and kind of do his own backing vocals. I think that was just Joe, because nobody else, I guess Tom Hamilton on occasion, would do some background vocals, but not a lot. So, it's mostly Joe, and Joe, I think, is fine. But yeah, he's not a tremendous singer by any stretch. And Steven, if you would have been on top of that, I think would have been pretty good too, whereas the Beatles had great harmonies. So I don't know. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I do. I have always felt that it was kind of monotone, you know, the backing vocals. Part of it for me, and you really notice this at the beginning, is there's almost no reverb on the song at all. So what you're getting is a very dry recording. So that doesn't help. But you also have to give a little bit of life in the performance as well. So I've always thought of it as someone that's just standing by and agreeing, you know, nodding their head, going, "Yeah, you're really down," you know, and not caring so much. I mean, obviously, it was a choice, you know, like you were saying earlier, John, because that's the way they left it. I'm sure they certainly had room and time for overdubs, but I kind of glad that Steven didn't do backups on it, because it would have felt less Beatlesque. I think we get plenty of his voice, and to have something to contrast the vocals a little bit, I think it's kind of nice. I do wish it was a little more lively though. I agree.
Oh, we even had the big Beatles ending. That's I'm Down from Permanent Vacation, track 11 from that fantastic album, one of Scott Haskins' favorites. That's why you put it on the dice so many, many years ago. Scott, let's start with you. We got to discuss now if I'm Down, never released as a single, if it's going to go on a mixtape, it's going to be going on the Side A Deep Cuts or one of our Nasty Cuts. Currently on the Deep Cuts, we have Rats in the Cellar, Moving Out, No More, No More, Girl Keeps Coming Apart, from the same album, Bone to Bone, Coney Island Whitefish Boy, Scenes of Wither, Permanent Vacation, Get the Lead Out, and Combination. So, Scott Haskin, would you put I'm Down on this list?
I would, and the challenge I have is heading off John's brain. about how many songs from Permanent Vacation are we going to put on the Ultimate Mixtape? And I agree, you know, they had more albums than just the two that I knew coming into the show. I'm going to say I would replace Permanent Vacation.
Ooh, interesting. John Mariano, what are your thoughts?
I would also replace Permanent Vacation.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. My vote doesn't matter then. So
what would your vote have been for completionist sake?
Well, I tell you what. I would have maybe replaced Girl Keeps Coming Apart, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I like Permanent Vacation a little bit more than that one, but I'm cool with I'm Down taking off Permanent Vacation.
Well, good, because that's what happened.
I'm going to miss the steel drums, though. So Permanent Vacation now off the deep cuts, but it has a second opportunity here. It could live on the nasty cuts. John, let's start with you. Would you like to replace any of your three, or any nasty cut for that matter,
hey,
with Permanent Vacation? Let's just recap your three. Walk on Water, Cheesecake, and Bright Light Fright. What do you think?
So I know you felt strongly that Girl Keeps Coming Apart should have stayed on, right?
It did stay on.
No, but you felt like it should have come off instead of this.
I didn't feel strongly, but yeah, that's how I was leaning.
So would you have kept Girl Keeps Coming Apart on your side of the mixtape?
If we took that one off tonight, would I have put it on my nasty cuts?
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility you might save Permanent Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility I might save Permanent Vacation. I would be shocked. See, here's the thing. Permanent Vacation is Scott's favorite album. And while the movie is a track on Permanent Vacation, Permanent Vacation is Permanent Vacation. So I think you and I can push Scott into a real conundrum, right? Because we got his I'm Down now on the mixtape, right? After all these weeks, after all these months, it's on the mixtape. How much or how little does Scott actually love Permanent Vacation? Is he willing to let it go over this shitty movie?
He does have two other tracks on there too. Hangman Jury and Nobody's Fault he could replace with. But
there's only one that's really worth coming off.
Scott, what do you think?
Wow, I don't feel pressure at all. How was that for matching the backing vocals to I'm Down? you know what? Actually, I think I'm going to replace Hangman Jury with Permanent Vacation. Corey, if you would do the honors on the official sheet.
Well, that's a travesty. How dare you, sir?
Well, you realize this means that you now have the option to save Hangman Jury.
Well, I'm going to give it to John first. We're going to see what John says. Again, John has Walk on Water, Cheesecake, and Bright Light Fright.
And I personally would have gotten rid of the movie, and then this could have been a done deal.
Well, yeah, if you would have, see, here's the thing. If you would have grabbed the movie and put it on your list, you could have eliminated it.
Not necessarily. I might have put the movie on my nasty cuts.
That's true.
Yeah. So in all honesty, like we're getting a Permanent Vacation song off of the album. So I'm okay with it.
All right, so you're leaving. You're not going to touch Hangman Jury?
Nope, I'm not touching it.
I am. I'm putting it on mine.
And I guess which one you're gonna remove?
Sure, I already did, and you can see it. But yeah, please guess.
Oh well, I would have guessed. Don't Get Mad, Get Even. I didn't actually see what you did.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, that was the
borderline
one.
Yeah, it was a borderline selection on my nasty cuts anyway. And Hangman Jury is a much better song. So I currently have Falling in Love Is Hard on the Knees, Janie's Got a Gun, and Hangman Jury on my nasty cuts.
An excellent set of songs, I will say.
I think so. I think out of the 9, 8 are really, really good. All right, John, let's wrap this one up here tonight. Do you got anything you want to promote? You got a new book you want to talk about? How about a comedy album? You going on tour? What you got going on?
I've been watching a lot of this Pawn Stars on the History Channel. So if people could go out and support the Pawn Stars, only because I'm really addicted to the show and I'm running out of episodes.
there you go, everybody. Go out and seek out Pawn Stars. I was at that pawn shop. It was a lot of fun. I got myself a Pawn Stars t-shirt and didn't see Rick or Chumley or anything, but it was still a lot of fun. Scott, who lives in Las Vegas, has never been there. I don't think he actually leaves his apartment complex, but do you have anything you would like to promote here tonight?
I try not to leave except for my walk once a week, but I have been down by the Pawn Stars store. The line, however, was around the block. And I thought, well, I could do everything else I want to do today, or I could stand in this line and maybe still not get into the store. So I chose to do everything else I wanted to do that day. Let's see, what have I got going on? Well, the Uriah Heep, the Magician's podcast is almost officially completed, pending any new material coming from Uriah Heep. I've now covered everything they've recorded in the studio, interviewed everyone in the band. It's been a lot of fun. Those episodes are just about to hit 100,000 downloads, which I'm very excited about, and thank everyone who has supported the show. You can check out my other podcast, the HaskinCast podcast, at my website, scotthaskin.com.
And am I to understand that the John Mariano HaskinCast episodes on Cyndi Lauper have now eclipsed 1 million downloads? Is that correct?
They're getting close. Somewhere getting close? Between like 15 and a million.
Okay, each, so you're each. Almost there. Each.
Almost, yeah.
Wow. Impressive. Thank you very much.
I have personally listened to those episodes 14 and a half times.
Oh, good.
That explains a lot.
You quite make it through the 15th. I'm just like, no, I can't do it. All right, well Scott, now
girls can only have so much fun.
Exactly. But now that the Uriah Heep show is about to end, would you get off your ass and get us some interviews with like Aerosmith? Maybe get us some free tickets to the Peace Out Tour? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know that I have ticket connections. I don't know that I even have interview connections, but I will do my best. But
get out of mic.
Corey, there's an unfinished piece of business. I can tell you're about to close out the show, but there's something we haven't done yet.
I wasn't going to close out the show. I know exactly what we need to do.
I felt the end coming.
Well, see, and that's why you're still single.
Well, swipe left, people. I need to replace my song. And so I think
that was too loud
and unexpected.
There's two pieces of business, Scott. The first one.
Oh, yes.
Is how many times had Aerosmith played I'm Down? Because Scott had to correct me on my own damn show. We're going to start with him. How many times do you think Aerosmith performed I'm Down?
I don't think this was much of a live track for them. I'm going to guess five.
Five. All right. John Mariano. Remember, Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over. How many times do you think Aerosmith performed I'm Down?
So I can pick any number, right?
Yeah.
Not just like. So like three wouldn't count as a number, right?
Well, three would.
No, I didn't say three. I said threeve.
Threeve? No, three would not count.
Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah.
What about like if I pick a leather? Do leathers count as numbers?
No. It has to be a legitimate number.
Okay. And it can be like any, like from the top to the bottom.
Yes.
Okay.
It just can't be five because that's what Scott picked.
So any number but five.
Exactly.
Okay. So if I say cinco, does that count?
No, because that's still five. It's just in a different language. You see how that works?
So I have to speak the same language, basically.
That would help, because I don't speak a lot of languages.
So five?
No, five has been taken.
Oh.
But six. You can literally pick...
Six.
You want to pick six? Okay.
Six.
You pick six, you win. You did it. The correct answer is 102 times.
Wow.
What do I win?
Scott is going to send you an autographed copy of his latest books, Why I Hate John Mariano. It's a 10-volume set.
And it's scratch and sniff.
Oh, that's fun.
You don't want to know.
John doesn't seem real happy with that, actually.
No, because I'm curious to see what it sniffs like. Listen, I'm still stuck on these reviews you read at the top of the show. Uh-huh. And anything I can do to make the outro longer, we're going to do.
Well, we still got a piece of business, as Scott so rudely pointed out. Yeah. We have to take I'm Down off the dice and put something else on. So, Scott Haskin, I'm sure you've been thinking about this the entire episode. What track would you like to put on the dice for next week?
I'm actually still stunned that we finally drew I'm Down. I think if it had still been in sixth position on the dice, it would still be on the dice. You know, I don't, we have a lot of live stuff to cover, and there's really not a lot of live stuff on the dice right now. So I'm going to go with Last Child from Live Bootleg.
All right. Last Child from Live Bootleg going on the dice for next week. Excellent. Well done. I think that's a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone's got their plugs in. We got the dice all updated. If that's all, anything else? John, you have the floor.
Yeah. Scott, why did you pick Last Child?
Well, because it's a song I've never heard, and it's the last child. It's got to be epic.
So it's just like sight unseen. Like, that sounded pretty cool. I'm gonna throw that on the dice.
Yeah, it's not the second to the last child or child number two. It's the last child.
Okay,
I'm expecting big things.
I didn't want to wait till next week for us to get clarity on that. So I wanted to make sure we had clarity before we wound up the show. Corey, my number is 6.
Thank you. You've already won. And you've won a second time. Good job. So if that's all, I don't see any hands going up. Everybody's good. On behalf of John Mariano and Scott Haskin, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for tolerating us. And as always, let's give the final word to Steven Tyler.